We're going to open up with prayer and get started here. It's good to be in the house of the Lord and hearing the word of God. I couldn't think of a greater place to be. Amen. Father, we come before you this morning, lifting up holy hands to you, blessing your name, praising your name, thanking you for everything you have done through the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. We don't take that lightly. We believe it. We receive it. We claim our redemptive rights as the people of God in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You are the mighty revealer of all truth, the one who reveals and unfolds the words of life into the heart of each listener, giving each one eyes to see with, ears to hear with today. We thank you that your word never returns unto you void, but it does go out and accomplish that for which it was purposed. It prospers where it's being sent today. And Father, we give you all the praise for it. I ask for great unction and utterance. I thank you for the utterance to speak. When I open my mouth, you fill it today. I'll speak as of the oracles of God, with the tongue, the power, the ability of God, and minister in the power of the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we praise you and bless you and thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, how many in here yet you're excited that you're born again, a child of God? That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Not only that you know it, but how many understand that when you know something, then you walk in the light of it and you take your place in that and you continue to exercise your dominion in that. Because if you are in the body of Christ, if you're born again and saved and Christ lives in you by the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, then you are the one that's a more than a conqueror, the overcomer, the winner in this life. Come on now. You the one that has been authorized, deputized, given all power, all authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Come on now, Luke 10:19, he says, you shall tread upon. Tread upon, that means they're under your feet. Who's going to tread upon? No, the enemy ain't going to tread upon you. You tread upon him. Because you're reminding him constantly of his place, and that is what? Under your feet, because he's already been defeated. We're not trying to beat the devil. We're trying to enforce the defeat that Jesus conquered for us 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. So you're the one in authority. You're the one in dominion, and you exercise your dominion on the earth by what? Opening your mouth. Faith has a voice. Faith is not quiet. Faith does not sit back, relax, think something's going to happen sometime along the way. Nope, something has already happened. 2,000 years ago, it's happened for you and I. Our freedom and victory was bought and paid for. So it's already been done. So you are enforcing that defeat by continuing to open your mouth and agree with God, because faith agrees with God and what he's already said and done, and believe it's already done for you in your life, no matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're seeing, but because of what God has said. Woo! Glory! I'm so glad that God has said something. I'm so glad that we have a sure word of prophecy that's unchangeable, unwavering. God says he will never change his mind concerning what he has said. He has spoken it, he meant it, and he's behind every word of what he's spoken and said. And he said that we to get a hold of that word the same way and act the same way. You can act just the same way that God did, because Jesus was a divine express image of the Father here on the earth. And we know what Jesus did when he came and was faced with what? Sickness, disease, problems, situations, winds, storms, death, disease. He faced every single one of them, and he dealt with every single one of them, and every single time he wasn't quiet about it. I said every single time he was not quiet about it. Every single time he opened his mouth, whether he spoke to the wind and the sea and it would obey him, He spoke to diseases and sicknesses and they left. He spoke to death and they were raised up. Come on now. We serve a God of no impossibilities, a God that's all powerful. There's no limit with his power when we believe him and trust him and put our faith in him and what he's already done. And we continue to agree with him in our minds and speak what he has said concerning our situation, concerning our problem or opposition. So you're the one that's been authorized, deputized. You're the one that he tells us in Matthew 10:1, I give him your authority over all men, all sickness, all disease. And then in Luke 9:1, he says, I give him your authority over every demon and devil there is out there. So you have nothing to fear. That's why he told us to fear not. Fear thou not. There's at least one fear not every single day in the year. 365 of them in the Bible. That's a good word right there. Fear not. Every single morning when you get up, you know you got a sure word right there. Fear not from God Almighty. Because he wants us to what? Believe in him and trust him. And take it as our very own of what he's already done and accomplished. It's time to believe him. That it's time to believe him. Lord, I see that in your word. That's me. That's who I am. That's what I have. That's me. Get up and start praising him and jumping around and glorifying him. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you got... The enemy knows whether you know that you believe or not. Couldn't do that, Pastor Debbie. Well, you know what? The more of the word that you take in, the stronger that word gets on the inside. And faith is an act. I said faith is an act. Faith has an expression. We've been looking at the different examples in the Bible of people expressing their faith. And how David expressed his faith right in the face of the giant. He had marvelous opportunity to be what? Fearful. He sure did, because he watched King Saul and the rest of them. They were fearful because they heard the same thing from the giant that David heard. But David ran to his giant and he confronted him. And his mouth was not shut when he confronted the giant. Come on now. Glory to God. So the speech center is the dominion center of our lives. And if we're not saying so, somebody else will make sure that they're saying the wrong thing. And you don't need to allow the enemy to be saying the wrong things around you, to you. But you open your mouth wide and you say what is so concerning you. Your voice is your address into the realm of the spirit and your ticket out of Satan's dominion. Constantly, continually, because you say so on a continual basis. Not just in the face of crisis or the opposition, but daily, we always... Pastor Chris and I make it, it's a spiritual habit that we have formed in our lives. The moment you get up in the morning, you're declaring what God says about you, who you are, what you have, what you can do in Christ. And then it's a good thing to say the last thing before you go to sleep at night. Declaring, this is who I am, this is what I have, this is what I can do according to the word of God. I believe God. Say what you believe so that the enemy doesn't get in there and begin to lie to you and try to persuade you otherwise. Say, no, that's a lie, devil. I don't believe that. I believe the truth. The truth is, by his stripes, I was healed. And then jump up out of the chair, or jump up off the sofa, or jump up out of the bed and begin to act like it, praising him, thanking him, blessing him. Hallelujah. I shared with you about Smith Wigglesworth. When Brother Lester Sumrall was around him, and he, one of the mornings he went and knocked on the door of his house, and Smith Wigglesworth opened the door and he asked him, how you doing? How you feeling? How you doing? He said, I never asked Smith Wigglesworth how I feel. He said, I tell Smith Wigglesworth how I feel. And that's the same way, you know, you remember you are a three-part being. You are a spirit. You possess a soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect, and you live in this physical body. The body is not the leader. The spirit, the inward man, should be the leader. The body should come into submission to the leader, and the mind to agree with the leader, your heart. So when the body is trying to tell us or convince us otherwise, like I heard in Brother Hagin many times when he shared his testimony, and he said right in the middle of the night, here we go, right around midnight hour, boy, he'd wake up and have such alarming symptoms and pain in his body. And he said the enemy, the devil, was right there to accommodate those pains, lies, and symptoms. See how the enemy works? He puts the force, the pressure on your body so you can feel something. Then comes the thoughts behind that to work together to try to rob you. And he said the pain was not good. And he said the symptoms, everyone would come right back on him that he had before he was healed and raised up off his deathbed. And the devil would tell him, you're not going to get your healing this time. He said, remember what the doctor said, that this could come back on you and you could lose it and be gone out of here in no time. He would say, ha, 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 devil, you a liar. Ha, ha, ha. He'd start laughing right in the devil's face. Said, nope, nope, nope. He said, devil, I'm not trying to get my healing. Jesus got my healing for me 2,000 years ago. I claim it. It's mine. And get out of here in Jesus' name. That's letting the enemy know. He said the moment that he stood against those lying symptoms and the pain that would try to show up to bring fear and doubt and unbelief, he'd say, nope, nope, my body is not going to dictate to me and tell me what I have and what I don't have. I'm going to tell my body what it has and what it doesn't have. Come on now. The body is not the leader. The inward man, the spirit man, the where faith resides, faith is of the heart. The Holy Spirit resides in our hearts, in our spirits. So it's taking what's on the inside and learning to work it on the outside, this outward man, so that the outward man has to submit, come under the leader, the Holy Spirit, your inward man, with Holy Spirit residing in your inward man. The body will try to, it just immediately wants to side in when the pain begins to show up. And you just have to put it in its place and not allow the pain to bring fear, because the word will produce confidence and boldness and assurance. The word is dependable and reliable. The word is all powerful. The Word of God is living power. The Word of God is life-giving, life-sustaining, and life-preserving. It has the power within itself to fulfill itself. Never forget how powerful the Word of God is. When you present yourself before the Word, you take that Word just like you're taking a strong dose of medicine. You know, the doctors say, well, we got to get this in your system, but you got to double up a couple of times to get it in there. Well, if you're not taking your medicine correctly, guess what? You don't get any results from it, do you? But when we take the medicine of the Word of God, then we expect it, or we should expect it, to do what it said it would do. It would be medicine to all our flesh. All our flesh. Doesn't matter if it's a bone, if it's a muscle, if it's an organ, if it's a cell, if it's blood. It doesn't matter. It still has to respond to the Word of God. Has to. That Word is a continual living power. And it can be contacted with, it can be connected with any time. And reminding yourself also of the greater one who lives in you, like it tells us in 1 John 4:4. So remember this, when it tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Think about that now. There's that resurrection power. The same resurrection power, life-giving Holy Ghost lives in you and me. And the Bible says that his quickening power, that quickening power is life-giving power to every substance of your being. Life-giving, quickening power, the same Holy Ghost. He lives in you. You have a lifelong guarantee on every body part of you. Come on now. You have a lifelong guarantee of every organ in your body because of the quickening power of the Holy Spirit who resides in us. It's just we don't release and turn him loose so that he can do his job. He's in there to help you, remind you, quicken that word in you, make it alive and real to you. Do you expect that? Are you giving your attention to that? Or are you giving your attention to the sickness and disease and what the doctors have said, what the reports say, CT scans? I get it. I've been there with people right there in their bedsides, and even myself. You got to say, nope. Nahum 1 verse 9 says, he's put an utter end to this affliction, and it will never arise again. God has put an utter end to that affliction, and it will never arise again. What do you believe? He loves us so much. He loves us so much. And he's provided for your well-being right here and right now to enjoy life at its fullest. Remember, Jesus said, I've come to give, John 10:10, I've come to give you the abundant life. The abundant life. That's what he's come to give us. But guess what? It doesn't just fall in our laps. It doesn't just happen because it's the will of God. Oh, well, God said that. I guess it's just going to... No. He's waiting for you to take a hold of it with your faith. He's waiting for you to what? Claim it, believe it, receive it, and make it your own. Every single one of us. It's not going to happen by osmosis. Doesn't happen like that. It happens because we believe the word of God. We receive that word. We claim it and make it ours. Personalize it. God, I see that in your word. I believe that concerning me and my situation. I believe it. I receive it. I claim it. It's mine. That's who I am. That's what I have concerning your word. I am the healed of the Lord. I am the redeemed of the Lord. And I say so, as Psalms 107 verse 2 said. Let the redeemed say so. Not just every now and then. Not just when the hard times hit. All the time. You should be saying what is so and what is true for you and your life. We have to resist that enemy and resist his lies. Well, that was all for free. Now we'll start with what we're going to go with. Just a little exhortation this morning to get you going, get you stirred up, remind you who you are and what you have. Before I was left here on vacation, I started on the series, Why Faith. I'm going to continue today on Why Faith, part 3. And, you know, when it comes to faith, there's not too much of it that we can hear. We need to hear it all the time. Why? Because Jesus simply said this. He said, when the Son of Man comes back to the earth, will he find those persistent in their faith? Will he find those using their faith? Will he find those in faith? Why do we say why faith, Pastor Debbie? Because it's so important that we understand Without faith, we can't please God. Can't be saved without faith, Ephesians 2:8. Can't live for God without faith, because it tells us in Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Can't walk the Christian walk without faith, because of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it tells us what? We're to walk by faith and not by sight. I love the New Living Testament, the New Living translation of that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by believing and not by seeing. Can't fight the good Christian fight without faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. So in other words, when we go back to Hebrews 11, verse 6, God says it takes faith to know Him, to please Him, to receive from Him. He desires that we seek Him and come to know Him. Seek Him and find Him, because He promises what? To reward those who diligently seek Him. And He does. So we want to continually have exceedingly growing faith. And you can't have exceedingly growing faith unless you are not using it or applying it in the situations that confront you in this life. How many know, as long as we live on this earth, we live in a fallen world. Jesus didn't say, if the tests and trials come, He said when they come. But you remember, your position is, you're the winner. You've already won. You just keep ringing that bell. You're in that ring. You keep ringing that bell, which is, you are the winner in Christ. Hallelujah. And so we had talked about, it's so important about faith, and began to look at examples of faith. And we, I hope today we get finished on 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we'll turn there together. We'll go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And just a quick review of what we did go over before I left here on vacation. I'm going to read from King James and the Amplified here. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we see where King Jehoshaphat and all of Judah were surrounded by a great multitude. So it wasn't just a little thing with some small enemies coming against them. It was a great multitude that had surrounded them. And we found out in verses 3 and 4, that King Jehoshaphat, he told the people, we're going to seek God. I love it. He said in verse 3, reading from the King James Version, it says, and Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. So it wasn't just him that did it. He wanted all the people to get in on the same page with him. In verse 4, and it says, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. It's so important. What are you seeking? Because Amos chapter 5, verse 4, it tells us, seek God and live. Seek God and live. He's your creator. He knows everything about you. He created you. And He sure can help you get the understanding concerning what belongs to you, so that you don't allow the enemy to try to rob of you of what already belongs to you. So I said, we go to the throne and not our phone. Now, it's nothing wrong with calling up friends that you know that are of like faith that will get in there and agree with you. Absolutely. Nothing wrong with that. And you know when you got to use your phone for emergencies and everything else. Absolutely. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying go to the throne where you can hear from God. So many times people, they're connecting with the wrong things first, but we need to connect with the Lord, our Creator, who knows all about us. First, by putting Him first. That's what it tells us in Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 20 through 22. Attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thy sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are what? Medicine to all your flesh. Attend. What are you giving your attention to? No condemnation. I'm not trying to bring condemnation on anybody. I'm just trying to help you direct your focus and your attention on the right things. Because the enemy is, he is a major distractor. His method is just, his strategy is destruction, but his method is distraction. If he can keep you distracted and away from the Word of God, which is your answer. So don't get surprised when you go to give your full attention to the Word that all these things don't try to pop up to distract you and take that time and your attention off of the Word of God. You have to keep your focus. Stay focused. Keep the Word of God as your vital necessity. Verse 6, we said that where it tells us right here in verse 6, and the king, and he said, O Lord, our God of our fathers. Verse 6, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the kingdoms of the heathen, and in thine hand is that not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art thou not our God, and who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people of Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? What are they doing there in verse 6? They're magnifying God. King Jehoshaphat, he's beginning to magnify God and reminding God of all the prior victories that he brought them and what he did for them. He said, you're the one that told us you gave us this land. And you're the one that said, yes, you're with us. And none is with it. None is able to withstand thee. What did he tell them? Every place your feet shall tread upon, I've given it into your hands. But they still had to go in and do something. That was Joshua and the children of Israel. They still had to do something, even when God told them. He had given them the land. But right here, he's telling them, they're bringing back what God said to them. Art thou not God? Didst thou not drive out all these inhabitants and give us this? Is not in thy hand power and might? None is able to withstand thee. So they're magnifying God and not the problem. And we need to remind ourselves about that. Stop talking about the problem and what the devil is doing and begin to talk to the problem. Speak to the problem. Command the problem to leave. Command the storm to be calm. Tell the doubt to get out. So we need to talk to it and magnify God. Remember, it tells us in Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Luke 1:37, all things are possible with God. There's no impossible situation. No matter how big a picture the enemy tries to paint of your defeat, You get that word on the inside of you and let the word of God paint a picture of your victory. And see yourself victorious in Christ. So what does it tell us in Psalms 34 verse 3? Oh, let us magnify the Lord together. Let us exalt his name. Yeah, magnify God. Talk about how big God is. Not your problem. Verse 11, we see where it says, behold, I say how they reward us. They come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. You know, healing belongs to you. And the devil's trying to just steal your inheritance that belongs to you. Remember, you're not the sick trying to get your healing. You are the healed, and the enemy's trying to get you to accept sickness. You are the healed. Right here, right now, right here, right now. Yes, because faith is always in the what? Present tense, right now. Faith says, I have it now. God said it. That settles it. It's done. I have it now. When he said himself, Matthew 8:17, himself took your infirmities, bore your diseases and sicknesses, he meant it. Jesus took it once and for all in your place. See it on Jesus, not on you. See it on Jesus. 1 Peter 2:24, Peter looking back at the cross and what happened. He bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. If you were, then you are. But I just don't feel like it, Pastor Debbie. Remember, it's not about a feeling. That's the voice of your body. Going back to that again. The voice of your body. The voice of your spirit is your conscience. And your conscience can be a good leader as long as you're continuing to meditate on that word and keep that word before your eyes and in your ear gate. Your eye gate, your ear gate, and coming out of your mouth gate. Because we also found out and learned three gateways into our heart that we have to guard constantly. What are you looking at? What are you hearing? And what are you saying? All the time. All the time. Guard your heart with all diligence. Because out of it, what are the forces of life? Force of faith, force of love. Those forces that you need to live by every single day. Then we saw in verse 15. They got before the Lord, they prayed, and then God speaks to them through one of the prophets, and he tells them, verse 15, to not be afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. The battle is not yours but whose? God's. Be not afraid. And what are we to do when fear tries to show up because you're feeling something or seeing something? The Bible says to resist fear. Exactly. It tells us in James chapter 4, verse 7. Resist fear. Submit. First it says, submit yourself unto God. Well, we know when we submit ourselves, that means we place ourselves under the authority of the final word in our life, which should be the word of God. If you're still trying to convince yourself of that, then that takes more meditation. Just stay at it. Continue to meditate in that word day and night, day and night. Just like Joshua tells us in Joshua 1, verse 8. Just stay in there. Meditate on it day and night. So we are to submit ourselves unto God, his word, and resist the devil, and he what? Will flee from you. He will flee from you. Didn't say maybe, or hope so, or might. No, he said he will flee from you. You resist fear. You address fear. Why? God didn't give you a spirit of fear. We know that 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. We know in Philippians chapter 1, verse 28, he tells us not to be intimidated or frightened by anything from our adversary. Not to be. Because your fearlessness, what is a reminder to the devil and his cohorts of his destruction. And it's a reminder to you of your great salvation and what God has already provided for you through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yes, so we don't want to fear, but we can resist fear, deal with fear. Don't allow fear to stick around. In Jesus' name. I wanted to go back up to verse 12. Because I like something in verse 12, just a reminder here. It tells us, O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on thee. They knew in and of themselves they were no contendant for the enemy. But they said, our eyes are on you. What are you constantly looking at? Because it tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, that's the living word. Looking at the word, looking unto Jesus. He already went before us. He already won the victory for you. He already conquered the devil for you. He provided for your success, your victory, your triumph. Hallelujah. Verse 17, 2 Chronicles 20. Here we go. It says, you shall not. Now, this is just reviewing of where I'm going to get up to where we stop. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. There's that word again. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Don't get discouraged. Discouragement, you will have to resist, push off, push away from you. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Well, the Lord's not only with you, but he's in you. And he's saying, fear not, nor be dismayed. But he says, position yourself. I like what the Amplified says. The Amplified says, position yourself. What's the position? Your position of faith, your position of victory, your position of triumph. Position yourself. You're seated with Christ, as it tells us in Ephesians chapter 2. You're seated with Christ in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. You're not under your circumstances or under the sickness and disease. You're not under it. You're over it. You're to tread over it and upon it. You're the victor. You're not the victim. The enemy wants you to think you are, but you're the victor in Christ. Hallelujah. And then he says, you remember your position of victory. More than conquerors, Romans 8:37. And then it also says right here in this verse, stand still. Stand ye still. That's having the peace of God. The peace of God of knowing that what he has said, he has already done for you. There's a peace when you believe in God, because it tells us in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, there's a joy and peace in believing. A joy and peace. What does it tell us in the book of John? I love the book of John when it comes to the peace of God. Well, in John 16, verse 33, Amplified, because I like the Amplified when it comes to that. Sorry, God. John chapter 16, verse 33, in the Amplified. He said, I've told you, Jesus talking to his disciples. And who are his modern day disciples? You and I are today. his modern day disciples. He says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulations, trials, distress, and frustrations, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Woo, what an encouraging word from our Savior, our healer, our great physician. Come on now. And then it tells us in John 14, can't forget that one either, John chapter 14, verse 27, peace. I'm reading from the Amplified again. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. And do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. He tells us, do not be fearful. Don't allow the enemy. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Why does it tell us that the Bible says that he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee? Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou will keep you in perfect peace because your mind is stayed on him. Here we go again. You're going to have to do something constantly with your mind, the thought life. You cannot fight thoughts with thoughts, but you can fight thoughts with words. You have to open your mouth and say what is so concerning those thoughts. A thought unspoken, unacted upon, what dies unborn. It has no power over you. But the moment you begin to entertain those thoughts, dwell on those thoughts, think about them, ponder them, you find yourself becoming fearful, discouraged, agitated. That's when you know you're thinking on the wrong things. We have to gain control over our thought life. And this is on an ongoing basis. All of us, as long as we live in this world, we are constantly controlling our thought life, or should be. Should be practicing self-control when it comes to our minds. Not just allowing them to roam off and go anywhere they want to go. Reel it back in and say, no, right now you're going to think on this word. Tell your mind what it's going to do. No, you're going to think on this word right now. This is what his word says. I choose to think on this right now. Speak to it. Oh, it works. It works. Hallelujah. And then we looked at verses 8. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles 20. And we're looking at verses 18 and 19, the power of praise and worship, because it says, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, they fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a loud voice on high. So they were very loud about praising their God. And we talked about it that last week before I left for vacation. We talked about the power of praise and worship. That when we praise God, we win battles. Why? God lives in our praise and worship. He takes up residence in our praise and worship. And when we praise and worship God, his strength comes into our very situation and begins to be activated on our behalf. Praise and worship builds a barricade around you to keep the devil out and keeping the presence of God in. We cannot praise and worship God enough and take it serious enough like we should to realize the power that's behind our praise and our worship time. When we praise, what? The praises go up, but his presence comes down. And that presence builds that barricade around you. The devil is not going to be the same place where the presence of God is, I can tell you. And remember, your victory is not about the absence of your enemy, but knowing who you are in the presence of the enemy, so that he's not intimidating you. He's not going to stick around when it comes to praise and worship, I can tell you. When the presence of God begins to fill you and fill the room. Oh my, it's just powerful. Just remind ourselves constantly. Jesus said, the day is coming and has now come. He says when he's looking for what? John 4:24. True, genuine worshipers. Lavish worshipers, extravagant worshipers, those that are willing to lay their things down they might like to do, hobbies, their places they might want to go, and say, you know what, I'm going to take this time, Father, I'm just going to spend it right here with you, me and you, just me and you, Daddy, and I'm just going to let you know how much I love you and praise you and want to worship you. All of my days, I'm going to give you praise. I was made to worship you. You were created to worship him. Because you were created in his likeness, in his image, to give him glory and honor and praise that's due him. Praise and worship, the power of our praise and worship. When we praise God, we win battles. Don't ever forget the seriousness of our praise and worship out loud. Well, you know, Pastor David, it has to be somebody with a good voice. No, Jesus said, God said in his word, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So that includes everybody. You're not exempt. Anybody can make a joyful noise. Doesn't matter if you can sing or cannot sing. Open your mouth and begin to share with the Lord your heart concerning praise and worshiping him. Everybody can do it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Build that barricade. Kick the devil out. Release the strength of God into your situation when you're praising and worshiping God. What does it tell us in Psalms 22, verse 3? God inhabits the praises of his people. He takes up residence in, he lives in our praise and worship. And that one translation I always like to share is he acts like a judge, setting up surprise attacks and ambushments against the enemy when you're praising and worshiping God. Woo! If we only knew what's taking place in the spirit realm when we are praising our God and worshiping him, we would do it a whole lot more. I said, if we really knew what was happening in the spirit realm when we praise and worship God, we do it a whole lot more. We got to know what our weapons are and how to use them. Come on now. So God is looking for those extravagant worshipers, lavish worshipers, those that are willing to give him time. How powerful. How powerful. So right here in verse 21, we're going to go on and move further today because we're going to bring this thing. Verse 21, it says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. Who did? King Jehoshaphat. Hallelujah. He says, when they, verse 20, it says that he said, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established, or you could say made to stand firm. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper. Believe in the Lord your God. And when he consulted, here's verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should what? Praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. Before the army. So here King Jehoshaphat is singing out the praises, the worshipers, the before the army, before they even see any results, anything yet. Come on now. Before you feel anything, see any change, feel any change, you're praising and worshiping your God because you already know the outcome. You already know what God has said in his word. You are the healed. Healing belongs to you. It's yours. You're the healed now. Hallelujah. You're praising and worshiping God. So King Jehoshaphat, he sent those out before, and as they went out before the army, and they said, praise the Lord, and his mercy endureth forever. So they not only sang and praised and worshiped God, but they also confessed something. There was confession going along with the praising and the worshiping. Your confession makes a difference. What does it tell us in Hebrews 10:23? Let us hold fast to our confession of faith without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Hold fast to your confession of faith, not of the problem, not of the feelings, of faith. Hold fast. So it's the confessions, constantly keeping your confession going with your praise and worshiping him. They praised and they confessed right in the face of the circumstances. Look at this. It says in verse 21, so they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. In verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, what? Hope. Who set ambushments against their enemy? The Lord. You don't know what's happening and taking place in the spirit realm when you're praising and worshiping your God. Come on now. But there's one who you are activating his strength, his might, his power on your behalf to work for you in that given moment and situation. And it says the Lord set up ambushments. And the Lord can do the same thing for you today. All those things that are bombarding you, trying to weigh you down, pulling on you. Come on now. Your praise and worship time. And he said, when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Say, they were smitten. That's right. And it tells us that not one escaped, not one was left living. Every one of them was destroyed. He also made the enemy turn on themselves. You don't think God can't do something on your behalf? When you're praising and worshiping him, he can set up ambushments. The enemy to turn on himself, and you think, oh, whoa, all these tests, all these scans, all these that, all of a sudden there's nothing there. Think it not strange. Hallelujah. So what happens here? So they praise, they confess, the Lord set up ambushments. And he defeated their enemies. And then there was a great spoil for them to collect. So God defeated their enemies. He provided for their material possessions and needs, their material needs. And he also provided for peace for them, because it tells us that there was peace. It says, verse 30, so the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. That's the peace. It says that, verse 29, the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. Hallelujah. God is on your side. He is for you, not against you. He's with you and in you. Let's stand to our feet. You know, this morning, God didn't leave us helpless, forlorn, comfortless, powerless. No, he provided for our success. You provide it for our victory. You provide it for your healing, your health. You have heaven's health. You have heaven's wealth. It belongs to you. It's already been taken care of. But like I said, we have to do our part. God does his part. He's given us his word. And then we do our part by what? Receiving that word. Acting on that word. Faith is an act. Taking that word as your very own. And that's mine. I have that. Hallelujah. God is faithful to his promises. He's just waiting on us. Praise the Lord. So let's make a confession together this morning. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, I believe your word, Lord God. For your word says, I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. And I say so. Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me. Therefore, I forbid sickness and disease, pain, fear, and anything in my body that is not of God. I resist it in Jesus' name. I command it to leave in Jesus' name. Pain go. Sickness go. Disease leave. Now, in the name of Jesus, I call my body healed. I call my body strong. And I will live long and fulfill the will of God on this earth in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. If there's anyone in here today that would like to be prayed for, or have hands laid on, we always want to give you that opportunity in healing school. We just